Many times as we meet around the Lord's table, I think about what portion the Lord would have us to use to remember his death, burial, and resurrection, even as we do. I don't have a script. I know there's a limited number of portions in the New Testament. Matthew tells us about the final supper. Mark, Luke does. Believe it or not, John doesn't. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't significant. It's just that the Lord purposed that the others teach us. And then we've got Corinthians in two places in Corinthians that we can use as a word. Of course, there's always other portions of scriptures we've seen. I could just as easy refer you to Exodus 29 that we just looked at with the eating of the flesh and the eating of the bread in the basket. It's interesting that of anything that the Lord could leave us as a picture of his work for his people, it's these two elements that we hold in our hands right now. It's the bread, and this is not just some store-bought loaf. We'll just go down and get a loaf of bread. It's unleavened. This is what unleavened bread looks like, different forms. So it represents the perfect Lamb of God. He had to be without spot and without blemish. You say, well, mine has some blemish on it. It's got some fire marks on it. Well, that's good, because that shows that it went through the fire, just like Christ did. He came, the seed was sown, he rose up, he was cut down, cut off, and put through the mill. When it says there in Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, it's literally the word mill him, put him through the mill of suffering as the just one. That's what God required. You want to know just how holy God is? Look what he did to his son to save who? Wretches like we are. So that's the one element he's given us. It's a picture. And then not without blood, the shedding of the blood. That's the picture that he's given. You know, if God had purposed us to have a remembrance of Christ through pictures, there were artists back in Christ's day. They could have drawn pictures and passed it on down. In fact, there's a whole cult that has pictures of a so-called Jesus and of the apostles. And literally, when they get together, I learned about this over there in Germany, but in Eastern Europe, there's still places where they come together. They actually put a picture of a so-called Jesus or a statue up for people to meditate on. And that's their time of worship. That's not the picture that the Lord has given us. Not an artist's design, but the bread and the cup. And here in Luke chapter 22, this is one of those portions that you can go to and look at and remember what this is all about. The Lord says in verse 14, when the hour was come, and Luke speaking of the Lord, he sat down. Right there you could dwell on for a long time, when the hour was come. From all eternity, God the Father purposed that in the fullness of the time, Christ should come, but not to die at any particular time according to man's will, but when the hour was come, that hour that God the Father had purposed. It says he sat down. He was up and about, going about preaching, teaching. Now was the time for him to sit down. And it says the 12 apostles with him. Now we know eventually one of those the Lord would cause to leave. He would expose him, the son of perdition. He left before he instituted this supper. But here's what our Lord said there in Luke 22:15. He said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What was so important about that last Passover? What we call the Last Supper. Well, it's because that was to be the final one. There was not to be any other Passover meals after that. You say, well, the Jews went on and had them. Yeah, but they did that in a rebellion. This, for the Lord's people, was the absolute last Passover that was ever to be celebrated. And if you were to sit at that Passover table, you would have seen other elements there. You would have actually seen a roasted lamb. You would have seen unleavened bread. You would have seen wine. And you would have seen some bitter herbs that were part of that table. What happened to the bitter herbs? Well, Christ bore the sin one time. You say, well, what happened to the lamb? Well, he is the lamb. Therefore, there's no other earthly lamb that is to be sacrificed. So what have we retained from that table? We have the lamb, that's Christ. We have the wine that represents his blood. There was wine at that table. And we have the unleavened bread that represents his person. But when he says, with desire, I have desired to eat, that sometimes you wonder, well, what was the Lord thinking? Well, his mind was set upon this one purpose for which he came to this world. And he says that in verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Was he talking about sometime in a sweet by and by? No. Until it be fulfilled. When was all this fulfilled? When he died. And he says, in the kingdom of God. Are we waiting for some future kingdom then yet to come? No. His death laid the foundation of that kingdom of God, that whereby God now can be just and declare righteous those sinners for whom Christ died. And that's when it says he took the cup. What'd he do? You're thinking about, he's on the eve of his death, but he's not downcast and thinking about it at all. It says here he gave thanks. It was for this reason he came into this world. And that's where he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. After his resurrection, we find Christ sitting at table partaking with his loved ones, bread and wine. So what does that tell you? The kingdom of God has come. We're not to look for some future earthly 1,000-year reign like people do today. No, his kingdom is come because Christ has died and risen again. And then it says he took bread and gave thanks. In both cases, it's with thanksgiving. He broke it and gave it unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then likewise also the cup after supper. You say, well, he mentions the cup twice. Well, the one cup was the Passover cup, of which he drank for the last time. But then now he reinstitutes it with the bread. And now the cup that he instituted, this cup, he said, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There he made the transition, the difference. And that's why when we partake, we take the bread and we eat it, and then we take the cup and we drink it. That's the order that the Lord has given us here. And it's to remember him. That's what he says there. This is my body, which is given for you. This bread isn't his physical body, but it's a picture. This do in remembrance of me. It's like people give you a picture to remember them. You hang it on your mantle. This is what Christ has given us. And then the cup, which is shed for you. It wasn't shed for everybody. He's speaking here to his loved ones, those for whom he came to lay down his life. But both were necessary. It took the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ to earn and establish righteousness, and it took him shedding his blood. So let's thank the Lord, and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, we are overwhelmed when we stop and consider the depth of what we're about here. I pray that we would not treat it lightly, but even as we partake, to remember your Son, remember him that you sent to lay down his life, to be the sin bearer, and that by his life and death you have been satisfied, and therefore we find satisfaction before you as well, accepted in the beloved. Oh, what good news that is. And we give you the praise and honor and glory in Christ's precious name. Amen.